Welcome back to the America Pray Now podcast, a podcast for people of prayer. Today we will hear from America Pray Now leader, Josiah Alway.
Today I want to begin a short series on what we as believers refer to as the Lord's Prayer, or as some would say, the model prayer. And we're going to be reading in a moment Matthew chapter 6, verse 9 to verse 13. And I want to bring to your attention this teaching of Jesus, because few things in life are more important than this subject of prayer. We can serve God, we can serve others, we can read scripture, but unless we have a life of prayer, we're not going to have the relationship with God that we need. We're not going to have the wisdom, the joy, the peace, the guidance that is necessary to live the kind of life that God desires for us. Jesus knew the importance of this prayer life. That's why he rose up early in the morning before the sun had risen. Sometimes he prayed all night. That's why before making big decisions like picking who his disciples would be, we see him praying. That's why he prayed before the cross, the greatest challenge of his life. We see him praying in every season of his ministry for different things. Jesus was a man of prayer, our example of prayer. And the Bible tells us that one day, Jesus was praying in a certain place, as he often did. And when he had finished, Jesus' disciples came to him and asked him, "Lord, teach us to pray. Teach us to pray." Can you imagine what they were seeing? Can you imagine seeing Jesus, God in the flesh, pray? Can you imagine from a distance seeing Jesus on his knees and hearing his voice and seeing the relationship that he had with the Father? Lord, teach us to pray like that. We all need to have that cry, that cry that the disciples had. Lord, teach me to pray. The disciples had observed a lot of things in Jesus' life, and one of them was his prayer life. They saw in Jesus a power, a depth, a wisdom, an anointing that flowed from this life of prayer. Lord, teach us to pray. And so Jesus decides to teach them with a model, an example of prayer. Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 to 13. "In this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." Jesus begins this prayer with the words, "Our Father." Now, for many of us today, we're accustomed to this. We hear this a lot. We pray like this. But this, for many of Jesus' time, was an incredibly radical thing. To call God, the Holy One, the Creator, the one who the Bible says man cannot see face to face, the one who is so holy that even Moses could only see his back, so holy that Elijah and John fell before his presence as though they were dead. We're to call him our Father? This definitely was not a common way to pray in Jesus' time. As a matter of fact, we might even say it was revolutionary. People were shocked to hear someone refer to God in this way. For some of the religious leaders of Jesus' day, praying like this was blasphemy. In John chapter 6, the Bible says that Jesus, standing before the religious leaders, declared God to be his Father, and the Bible says that because of that, they sought to kill Jesus even more. But Jesus wasn't actually bringing something new. As a matter of fact, these passages which declare God as our Father and us as his children are scattered throughout the Old Testament. It's something the religious leaders should have known. They should have been okay with it when Jesus prayed in this manner. For example, in Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse 6, it says, "Is he," referring to God, "not your Father, your Creator, who made you and formed you? God is referred to as Father by David in Psalm 103, verse 13. He's referred to as Father by the great prophet Isaiah in Isaiah 63 and verse 16. Here he says, "You, Lord, are our Father, our Redeemer from of old is your name." Jeremiah the prophet speaks the word of God in Jeremiah 31:9 and says, "For I am Israel's Father." And then after these prophets came the Son of God, our Savior, Jesus, and he begins to emphasize this in a greater way. He begins to emphasize more what the prophets had already realized. But despite all of these passages, the religious leaders of Jesus' day claimed that to say that God was your Father would make you equal with God. But we know, of course, that they were wrong. To say God is your Father doesn't make you equal. You can still come before him in humility, in reverence, and call him Father. There's a great story that illustrates this, a comical story that illustrates this. In the summer of 1945, a Yankees baseball star, Joe DiMaggio, brought his son, Joe Jr., into the Yankee Stadium one day, and he was trying not to be seen as the great baseball player. He was just up there in the stands, just as every other fan. He had his four-year-old son, Joe Jr., and they just wanted to sneak into a seat. And then he was going to go down and he was going to rejoin the team and go out and play baseball. But a fan noticed him. He was so well known. He was such a star. And so a fan noticed him and then they started talking and another fan noticed him. And before you knew it, the whole stadium was chanting, "Joe, Joe, Joe DiMaggio, Joe, 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 Joe DiMaggio." And to little Joe DiMaggio Jr., his dad's name was Daddy. To little Joe Jr., everyone was chanting for him because Daddy's name is Daddy and I'm Joe DiMaggio Jr. And so he looked up at his dad and he said, "See, Daddy, everybody knows me." He thought they were cheering for him, but four-year-old Joe Jr. was mistaken. It wasn't about him. It was all about his father. And so too, the religious leaders of Jesus' time made the same mistake. Having a heavenly father does not make us equal with him. You see, it's not about us. It's all about God, who is our father. And we're not worthy of it, but God in his incredible mercy and love made a way that whoever repents of sin and turns from sin and puts their trust, their belief in Jesus and the sacrifice he made on the cross is given a new life within and made a child of God. And we see in Jesus' life and in the Old Testament that it's important that we recognize that he's more than a distant force in the universe. He's more than just God. He's also our Father. And it motivates us to pray when we recognize this. Why? Well, there's several reasons. One, because as we pray to our Father, we know that he desires what's best for his children. If you're a parent, you know this. If when you pray to your Father in heaven, you automatically realize, I'm his child. He wants what's best for me. As a matter of fact, in Luke's version of the Lord's Prayer, in Luke 11, he gives the Lord's Prayer. And in verse 11 to 13, Jesus follows up with the Lord's Prayer with these words. He says, "If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" A normal father only wants what's best, and so too our heavenly Father wants his children to have what is best. I want my son to succeed. I want him to excel, and our heavenly Father wants the same for us. The concept of God as our heavenly Father is found 17 times in the Gospel of Matthew. He's described there as the fountain of blessing and perfection, the one who gives good things to those who ask, the one who reveals his secrets to little ones, the one who cares for them. And so we can approach him with this confidence that he wants what's best. He's not holding a club over your head when you go to pray. He desires the best for you. And then secondly, when we recognize he's our Father, it's reminding us that his thoughts are higher than our thoughts, and we can turn to him for guidance. When my kids come up to me, oftentimes they'll ask me how to do something, or they'll ask for help. They don't have the same knowledge or experience that I have as their father, and they know that. That's why they look to their parents. And an obstacle of effective prayer is forgetting that God, his thoughts are higher than our thoughts. His ways are better than our ways. And we can turn to him for help, and he'll help us. He'll help us. Thirdly, when we recognize God as our Father, we also understand a glimpse of his incredible love. And when we recognize his love, we love him more. We want to pray more. When my son was born, I could have never imagined in my wildest dreams the feeling that I would have. It was an overwhelming love the moment I saw my son born. And it gave me just a glimpse of the kind of love that our Father has for us as his children. We see in with David and Absalom, like Absalom made so many mistakes. And he comes against his father, and still David's weeping for his son because there's just a love that you have for your son. Another reason it's so important to recognize God as our Father when we pray is we recognize that sometimes when we go to prayer, when discipline has come to our lives, we are recognizing that God's discipline in our lives is because he loves us, not because he has a club over our head. Hebrews 12:7 says, if you endure chastening, God deals with you as with his sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? He disciplines us out of love. And it's important to recognize that when we go to pray, sometimes through difficult times, when God's doing a work in us. The wicked are suffering under God's wrath and anger, but sometimes God might deal with us in an area because he loves us. And then lastly, when we recognize God as our Father, we're recognizing that we are heirs of his kingdom. As sons and daughters of the Most High, we are to inherit his riches. So many forget about this eternal inheritance. They're focused on this earth, like the prodigal. They want everything now. But when we go to the Father and we can see a glimpse of him on his throne, and we understand that we are heirs of his kingdom, it sets our minds off of the eternal and on the eternal and off of the temporal. God will never leave us or forsake us. He wants us to inherit the best eternally. And so stay tuned as we continue next week in our series on the Lord's Prayer. We're going to be covering the second part. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Thank you for joining us for the America Pray Now podcast. If you have enjoyed these podcasts, we also publish a magazine on prayer that is free of charge and can be delivered directly to your home. You can sign up for this magazine on our website at americapraynow.com. In addition to our weekly podcast, we also meet in 16 different cities every month to pray in person. Most of our in-person prayer meetings are in Virginia, and we also have meetings in Maryland, West Virginia, Delaware, and North Carolina. Please see our websites for times and dates. Until next time, may God bless you.